I'm flanked by my bodyguard, so don't try to rush this podium. Would you bow your head with me? Father, as we just take a moment to go to your word, we ask, Lord God, that you would accomplish much in our lives, that you would speak directly to each one of us this morning in the moment of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to talk to you. Well, first of all, turn to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. That's where we're going to be. But this morning I want to talk to you about one of Jesus' many miracles, and that is Jesus and Peter walking on the water. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus and Peter walking on the water. I believe in miracles. I believe God is still trying to do some amazing things. I believe that sometimes we are the hindrance that keeps God from accomplishing all that he wants to accomplish. Sometimes we want to divide our Bible and say, well, that's Old Testament and this is New Testament. And if we don't like what it says, well, that's not what the God now is. The God is the same today and every day. The same today and forever. He doesn't change. He still wants to meet people's lives. And I just think miracles are cool, don't you? Can you imagine walking on water? How many be willing to try? Amen. People love miracles. I think most people root for the underdog. Say amen. I think most people root for the underdog because they're so much an underdog that you're just pulling for them to win, and it would be a miracle if they won. So we have a tendency to pull for underdogs. Some of you that are old enough, you remember the 69 amazing Mets. New York Mets, when they won the World Series in 1969, they were not picked to do anything, and they ended up winning. Some of you were not even a thought at that time. I understand that. 1980, when the Olympic ice hockey team from America beat Russia, it was a time that's etched in people's minds. And then there's Rudiger that played for Notre Dame, a football player that they thought would never make it. Not only did he make the team, but it took him to his senior year to play, and they made the movie Rudy. Then there's Michael Orr, and you see the movie Blindside, and you think of a impoverished kid that broke into the NFL and made it, that has a story that needs to be shared. And then there's Rocky Balboa. Though after watching six movies, somehow we always know he's going to win. But people like miracles. People like underdogs. People like to see things that don't necessarily happen on a regular basis. And the disciples are no different. They followed Jesus. They watched him do miracles. And yet they struggled in their walk. Say amen to that. They all had their struggles. If you follow and you look at Peter, Peter's an average person. Peter made lots of mistakes. Peter went after Jesus, and he had these moments where it was like his brain fell out of his head, but Jesus was there for him, and Jesus tried to work with him. And you know what? That just tells me that they were human. That just tells me that God is still a God of second chances. God is still one that wants to minister in people's lives, that God doesn't give up on us. And I know there's some people, and I know it's none of us here, but some struggle that you know, they have this feeling that if you take a risk, if you get out of your comfort zone, that you're foolish. But the amazing things happen outside of a comfort zone. The amazing things that God wants to do happens when it's not in our own strength. It happens when you go out and you risk everything. God is able to do something. Because if you can do it in your own strength, it's not a miracle. If you have the talents, and a lot of us have great talents, but if you can do it in your talent, it's not a miracle. It's just exercising God's ability that he's given you. And these disciples, they risked everything to follow Jesus. They left their jobs. They left their family. They left comfort. They left everything to follow Jesus. And I know that some of you sitting here this morning, when you say get out of your comfort zone and to do something that you're not used to. I like this. I just want you to know, I feel like I'm right on top of you here. I like this. We're going to have a discussion on that. I like this. It makes me like I'm closer to you guys than that. Anyway, boy, I just lost my thought. See, that's what happens when you love each other. You can stop what you're doing right in the middle. But you know what? When they say that you're going to leave that comfort, that scares some of you. I realize that scares you. But the action is outside of the comfort zone. The blessings are outside of the comfort zone. New things are outside of the comfort zone. I think that's exciting. I think that's good stuff. Turn with me to Matthew. You should already be there. Matthew 14, starting at verse 22, reading down to verse 33. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when you climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Jesus here is in full ministry. He's in full swing, and the disciples are able to see him witness to people. He amazed people by his miracles. What was happening is what I believe, and some commentaries say the same thing, is that what I believe was happening is that the people that saw Jesus were so enthusiastic with his words and different things that they began to, again, want him to be the king, wanted him to take over and come against that evil Rome. And I think Jesus, sensing that the disciples would also get that enthused and caught up in the moment and go against what was supposed to happen, I believe that Jesus sent them in the boat, got them away. Their scripture tells us that Jesus made them. And if you look at the actual Greek, it says compel. So Jesus was doing more than just giving them this strong suggestion. He you know, paraphrase, get in the boat. Take off. I'll meet you on the other side. And you have to look at this text that while they got in the boat, while they were heading down, and they figured that before that storm actually got them, that they were at least 3 miles out. It tells us that Jesus was interceding for them. That while they were traveling, Jesus had interceded for them. And the storm comes up, and they were used to storms. They were on these lakes and at different times. They've experienced all of the different storms, but this must have been one that they hadn't been used to. It must have been worse than what they were used to. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, says that as he records that, saying that they were straining at the oars. And I want you to see some things here as we look at this. I want you to see some things that Jesus points out and shows us. Number one is this, if you're writing it down, is Jesus sees us when we're struggling. How about it? We always feel like we're all by ourselves. Amen? That when you're going through a hard time, you always feel like Why does this happen to only me? Why is this? Why is that? And, you know, why doesn't anybody else care and see me? Jesus sees. Jesus cares. He sent them. Do you get that this morning? He sent them. The scripture says he sent them in the boat into that storm. These things didn't catch Jesus by surprise. When we see that Jesus says he sees us in our struggling, it's not like, you know, that he doesn't care and he sends us off, and that we could be you know, in our troubles and we're going, "Hey Lord, I'm over here, don't forget me." He sees what's going on in our lives. You know, have any of you been on a charter boat? Ever been on a charter boat fishing? And if you you know, the waters can get a little bit rough. If you've ever been on one, the waters can get a little bit rough. And I'm not talking about a little wave as an inboard motor goes by. I'm talking about swells on the boat that just start taking the boat like this, and that the crew has to actually get a handle on it, because if the boat gets sideways, you actually could tip over. You know, I born and raised in Milwaukee. I did some charter fishing in Lake Michigan. And the thing that most people don't know, that the waves on Lake Michigan get as bad sometimes as waves on an ocean. That there has been cargo ships that have actually sunk going from either Detroit or something that's right across from Milwaukee, trying to get across. That these swells are so bad. And I want you to know, thank God that I wasn't on one of those charter boats when the swells were so bad. I've been on them rocky, and you do some of this, but I've never been on so bad where I thought it was going sideways. You guys know how much I love roller coasters, so I mean, I would have fed the fish after that. I'm just telling you, I definitely would have fed the fish, because that would have been more than I can handle. But you know, that what the disciples must have faced there, what must have been more than what they were used to, more than what they anticipated. But Jesus saw them. Didn't catch them by surprise. And I'm probably not the only one, but I bet a lot of prayers go up in a crisis. In a time of, "Oh God, if you get me out of this, I promise I'll stop doing this. And no God, if you get me out of this, I promise I'll do this." And I can't remember the name of the movie, but Burt Reynolds was ready to take his life, and he was out on the ocean. And I want to read it, because I want to get it right. And I think it's funny, because I remember, I even YouTubed it this week to remember the whole scenario. But he's out there. He was so distraught. He was so wanting to give up. And he's in this water, and he decides that he wants to live. And he's swimming back. And I don't know how far out he was, but he must have been pretty far. And he says something like this: I will live the Ten Commandments. I will live them. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt. I will learn the rest of the Ten Commandments. You know, Lord, if you just would save me. And Lord, I'll give you 50%. I'm talking gross, Lord. Nobody gives 50%, Lord. But I will give 50%. I want to live. And it shows him swimming. And as he's getting closer, and he says, "I can see land. And Lord, I'm going to give you that 10%. Lord, I know I said 50, but let's start on 10. That is us. That's us. The scenario has changed, but that's us. In most cases, when we're going after God, "Oh God, if you would just get me out of this, I'll do that." And as God takes us out, "Well, I didn't quite mean that, Lord, but I'll do better. I'll give something." Come on. You know I'm crazy, so you might as well just hang right in there. Sometimes we find God in a storm. Amen. God wants to minister to us in a storm, but sometimes that's what it takes for us to find God. Sometimes it's good to be straining at the oar, so to speak, because in that, the Lord gets a hold of our lives. And in that, there's a chance that the Lord can turn us back to what should be important in our priorities. In a storm, we are going to learn better than if everything's all right. Say amen to that. You may not like it, but it's true. When everything is going smooth, sometimes we have a tendency, we forget God. We forget the blessings that he's given us. And storms will reveal where you're at. You don't have to tell anybody about it, but the storm will reveal where you're at spiritually, where you're at, and you're looking at these different things, you know, it's going to show you where your maturity level is. Somebody else may think you're up here, but a storm is going to let you know that you know, nope, I can pretend that I'm up here, but I'm really right here. And then you're in a storm, it's going to show you what kind of attitude you have. Because you can walk in with your suit on a Sunday morning, everything's great, and God knows it's not. God knows the argument that you may have had in the parking lot before you come. It might be, hello, Pastor. Great to be alive. But God knows. And it's going to show you what's happening in your life. A storm is going to let you know if you have a teachable moment. Say amen to that. If you have a teachable moment. Because sometimes, and again, I guess the movies I see just keep coming to mind, but I think of even Forrest Gump his sergeant or his Lieutenant Dan. Thank you. You know, when he was cursing God up in that bird's nest of that ship. That'll reveal our attitude, won't it? That'll show us. It'll make us or break us. It'll show us, and it showed the disciples, and it taught them where they were at. And that while even they were in the boat, thinking that God had abandoned them, that God had kicked them out into the lake to face the storm alone, that he was there taking care of business, that he was working with us. Verse 25 goes on, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. So the first thing, Jesus sees us when we're in a struggle. The second thing is Jesus comes to us. The prophet Malachi says that God sits as a refiner and purifies the sinner. The silver. He purifies the sinner too, but purifies the silver. He won't leave you there forever, but sometimes you feel like you're there forever, don't you? As God is taking care of business, so to speak, and you know, a little while before morning, Jesus went to the disciples. You know, it had been a rough night, but Jesus shows up in the morning. And I thought about this. You know when a silver refiner knows that the silver is ready to be used and taken out of the furnace? When he sees his reflection in the silver. And I believe that's what God does. I believe sometimes we have to go through that heat. I believe that we have to go through some of those things. Because in the end result, he wants to see Christ in us. He wants to see his reflection, a little more of him and less of us as we walk and try to learn his ways. I don't know if you know it or not, that this is one of these moments. See if you catch this or not. Do you know that there's no life in the Dead Sea? It's going to get to you in a second. Duh, Dead Sea. There's no life there. There's no fish, there's no plant life, there's nothing. And the reason of that is that the Dead Sea, which is true, this is true, 30% salt. The ocean is 3.5%. So you can imagine what salt level is in the Dead Sea, that they actually have to hire lifeguards or people that are basically watching. They don't encourage swimming there because you can drown. The drown rate in the Dead Sea is tremendous because what happens is if you get a mouthful of it, you start choking and then you drown. So they don't even encourage it. But you know that you sit there and you see these things. But the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee. And it was familiar. It was a lake that they fished on. It was a place where they made their living. And I want to tell you that God meets us where we're at. He meets us in our workplace. He meets us in our home life. He meets us in our schools. He meets us in our families. Those places that are familiar. A place where he says he will show up. If you're sick, he walks to you. If you're in fear, he talks to you and wants to work in your life. If you face death, he wants to walk there with you. Jesus comes to us. The third thing is that, and the last thing is Jesus rescues. Look at that scripture again, starting at verse 28. I won't read the whole thing. Starting at verse 28, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Jesus said to him, "Come." Jesus, you can almost picture this hand of Almighty God reaching out and reaching down to a person that had lost their faith for a moment because they were looking at the circumstance, they were looking at the situation, and you see here, you don't see Jesus telling Peter, "I told you to keep your eyes on me. I told you not to do something stupid." But in his moment, he just reaches out and he grabs him. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that we serve. The one that realizes that we're going to make mistakes. And he's there to rescue us. I'll say this morning. Some of us need to get out of the boat. Really. Some of us need to get out of the boat. God wants to do some amazing things. But we're staying in the boat. We're staying comfortable. We're not taking any chances. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Some of you are asking for miracles, and God's saying you got to get out of the boat to receive it. You're too comfortable, you know. God is telling you got to get out. They were all scared, but only Peter dared to get out. Only Peter called out to Jesus for his instructions. The disciples all watched Jesus do all these miracles. They had just come from the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus had taken 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 men plus the women and children. It's the only place that 5 plus 2 doesn't equal 7. Because he multiplied it and fed thousands. Jesus didn't get mad at him. Just told him to fix his eyes back on Jesus. I love this. You know, all week we've been talking about superheroes, and all week we've been doing all kinds of moves and deals there. You know, when you say fix your eyes on Jesus, and when I lived in Texas, fixing is a word. That is a word in Texas. I'm fixing to go here. I'm fixing to go there. It you all too. Yep. It works. And one of the things, it's no wonder that I don't know why I stutter, because Polish, Texas, you know, Milwaukee slang. So I don't know what I am. It depends on where I am. I guess I must be like a salamander or a lizard. I must have changed colors as I go. But yeah, when you're saying about fixing your eyes on Jesus, you're talking about being locked in. You know, you're talking about Superman and his X-ray vision penetrating and going and ministering and getting our eyes off of those circumstances. And this morning, I want to tell you, maybe to see your miracle in your life, maybe you need to do a miracle for someone else. Maybe you got to get your eyes off your circumstance and be sensitive to someone that's around you. Maybe this morning, your greatest hero, and we've had a whole week, like I said, of superheroes and first responders and everyone else where people are running into danger when most people are running away in fear. Maybe your greatest hero this morning has to be, again, Jesus and what he's done. And not that he not only rescues us from circumstances and situations, but he wants to rescue us for eternity. He wants to rescue us in our everyday lives. So as I close this morning, remember these things. Jesus sees us in our struggles. Don't let the devil lie to you. Jesus sees what's going on. These things don't catch him by surprise. Jesus comes to us. Jesus reaches out. Jesus made the first move to be all that he can be in our lives. And Jesus rescues us. If we'll reach out and respond to his hand coming, Jesus rescues us. The great thing is you can know the lifeguard. And your lifeguard walks on water. Amen? Faith is never constant. Maybe, I don't know if you ever heard that from a preacher or not. But the more I think about it, faith isn't constant. Because our faith will change by the circumstances that we're in. One day you could be a man or woman of faith, and the next day you're mud because of what you're going through. Christ understands that, but here's what he wants. He wants us to learn from those mistakes that each time we get a little bit stronger going through the things that we're going through. Each time that we get a little more trusting in the Lord to help us through those things. Jesus gives us these examples. By when all of this was happening, Jesus went to prayer. If Jesus needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? How much more should we be tender to what our Heavenly Father wants to do in our lives? See, faith is a willingness to take a risk. We're selective sometimes on what we're willing to take a risk on. But God's saying that even in things of God, that we need to take some risk. We need to embrace the unknown sometimes because we know God's in it. We don't have to know the end of the story to start moving. God will show us what's needed. We need to get out of the boat. Let me repeat that. We need to get out of the boat. We need to be out of the boat in our families. We need to be out of the boat in our workforce. We need to be out of the boat as a church trying to reach out into the community because where it's happening is outside of the boat. Say amen to that. If we're ever going to see all that God wants us to see and all that he wants us to be, it's going to happen outside of the boat. Everything of value that God wants for our lives is outside of the boat. And every day can be an adventure. Say amen to that. We call that the Christian life. Would you bow your head with me? Father, we thank you this morning. Realize, Lord God, that we had some fun with this text this morning, but Lord, the bottom line is this. We will never be all that you want us to be in the boat. We have to get out. We will never accomplish all that you want to accomplish at Rosedale without taking risks, without taking chances, without stretching our faith, without walking in faith, sometimes not seeing, but knowing that you're in it. Lord God, we need to be like Peter. A lot of people in the boat, only Peter got out. The only reason that, Lord God, you wouldn't have had all of them walking on water is it was only Peter that asked to come out. It was Peter that said, Lord, if it's you, call me. And Lord God, you did. You called them. That's what we need in our lives. Pray that each one of us would take that down deep. Pray that each one of us would get a hunger and thirst for the things of God. Each one of us would get a hunger and a thirst to minister to people that we come in contact with. Lord God, that we would see more miracles. We would see you do amazing things through us and to others. In Jesus' name, amen.